People say it does often look like a tropical island because on a nice sunny day when the wind's calm, the landing bay becomes very turquoise and flat and it looks like you're in Greece rather than in England and Devon.
A two-hour ferry ride from the North Devon coast lies a tiny island often described as Britain's very own Galapagos. It's home to all sorts of wildlife, including an unassuming plant that lives nowhere else on Earth. Today, we're crossing the Bristol Channel to Lundy Island to meet the people who spend their days counting cabbages, and to find out why. I'm Rosie Holdsworth, and you're listening to Wild Tales, a whole world on a cabbage.
As you can see, we are approaching Lundy. It is essential that all passengers remain where they are, keeping clear of the gangway until the ship is secure alongside.
Welcome to Lundy, a very different kind of island escape. If you're looking for white sandy beaches and a bustling nightlife, you've come to the wrong place. And if you're hoping to keep up with your social media, well, the phone signal's a bit patchy too. But if dramatic scenery and world-class bird watching are your thing, welcome to paradise. Lundy Island may only be 3 miles long and half a mile wide, but don't let its size fool you. Over the centuries, it's been a home for pirates, a landmark for sailors, and a working granite quarry. Today, it's one of the UK's top wildlife destinations. Every year, thousands of visitors climb aboard the MS Oldenburg, binoculars at the ready, hoping to catch a glimpse of some of the wildlife that calls this tiny island home.
Most people come to Lundy to see the puffins.
That's Tara, the assistant warden, and she's been living and working on the island for over 2 years.
Lundy means puffin island in Old Norse, so we're known for our puffins, and that's really what most visitors come here to see. A bit of a walk up the hill and then across to the west coast and along the island to see the puffin colonies, but it is worth it.
But it's not just puffins that visitors are keen to find.
We also have large numbers of other seabirds, lots of guillemots and razorbills, fulmars, large gull species and kittiwakes all nest on the cliffs around the island, as well as 25,000 Manx shearwaters, which are much harder to see because they only come into the cliffs at night. We're currently in the landing bay, which is kind of, I guess, the entrance to Lundy, because it's where the Oldenburg, our passenger ferry, comes in. On a low tide, it's a very popular place for seals to haul out on Rat Island, which all the visitors like to see as they come off the boat. And in a couple of months' time, there'll be lots of seal pups in the landing bay as well.
With so much spectacular wildlife to spot, our plans for today might seem a little unusual. While everyone else is scanning the cliffs and sea, Tara is going to show us something most visitors walk straight past.
We've got to the end of the flat bit in the landing bay now. We've got to go up the steep bit of hill, which is quite a walk, but well worth it because on the way there's lots of wild flowers that grow on the kind of slopes above the landing bay. Lots of kidney vetch, thrift. But on the way up, you also get to see quite a large amount of Lundy cabbage.
Hold on a second. Did you just say Lundy cabbage?
Well, when you say Lundy cabbage, people are like, oh, can I eat it? Where's the cabbage? Because they expect a cabbage like you get in the supermarkets, but this is like a wild form of cabbage, so there's no cabbage ball that you'd pick and eat. It's just quite a tall, leafy plant.
It's easy to see why visitors are bemused. With its distinctive yellow flowers, it looks much more like oilseed rape than the cabbage in your fridge. And if you're wondering what it tastes like, don't get any ideas. The Lundy cabbage is a protected species, so picking it or eating it is strictly off the menu.
Someone did once get permission to eat it, and apparently it tastes like very strong Brussels sprouts, so I don't think I'll be rushing over to get any soon.
It certainly doesn't sound very appetising, so just why has this cabbage attracted our attention? To answer that, we need to go back over a century. The first written record came in 1874, when naturalist John Goss recorded this plant growing on the island. Like everyone else, he assumed it was simply the Isle of Man cabbage, a species found much more widely around Britain. It wasn't until 1936 that botanist Frederick Elliston Wright took a closer look and realised this wasn't just another wild cabbage after all. It was an entirely separate species, found naturally nowhere else on Earth. Today it bears his name, Coenchia Wrightii, or more commonly, the Lundy cabbage.
It's very special to the island. It's our only endemic plant. We do have a couple of other rare and uncommon plants on the island, but nothing that's actually endemic other than the Lundy cabbage. So it's very special to the island.
But why only Lundy? The answer lies in the island's isolation. Cut off from the mainland for thousands of years, its wildlife has followed its own evolutionary path. Over time, that has created species found nowhere else on Earth. It's one of the first things Tara tells the school groups who come to explore the island.
They're always quite excited because it's an endemic species, and you tell them it's the only place in the world where it's found, and you get a big fine if you were to pick it, and they always find that quite exciting. But I like to play a game with them to try and spot the Lundy cabbage, because there's lots of yellow flower species that all grow in the same area, so they have to try and guess which one's the cabbage and which one isn't.
Once you know what you're looking for, you start seeing Lundy cabbages everywhere. But actually, it's a UK Biodiversity Action Plan, or BAP, species, which means it's highly protected. This is because its entire planetary range is confined to a narrow strip of cliff on the eastern side of Lundy, only 2 kilometres long. Which is why every May since 1993, the Lundy Field Society has carried out an annual cabbage count. And this year, it was Tara's turn.
It was almost exactly a month ago we did the count. We stood on the beach and looked up with our binoculars and a clicker, and you just scan the cliff in small bits and click with your tally counter, and then you look at your number and you look at your partner's number and you see how many cabbage plants you've got each, and if they're about similar you take an average between the two, and if they're wildly different you count again.
Not all the Lundy cabbages grow in places that are easy to reach on foot.
We did a trip out on the MS Oldenburg to count the cliff growing cabbage up the northeast of the island, and we did a little bit by kayak in the landing bay because there's cabbage below the beach road and it's quite hard to see.
Counting cabbages, it turns out, is not as easy as it sounds.
It's also quite hard to do because looking through binoculars on a kayak for quite a long time makes you feel a bit seasick.
And as for the final tally,
I think this year we estimated there to be around 5,200 cabbage plants. Last year we got 4,200 cabbage plants.
The annual cabbage count reveals how the population is changing from year to year. And while the numbers have fluctuated over time, there's been a huge conservation effort to restore its habitat. But one of the biggest challenges has come from a plant that doesn't belong here, the rhododendron.
Lundy used to be home to forests of rhododendron all up the east coast of the island, which is the coast we're on at the moment, covered in these big, huge rhododendron bushes making tunnels along the paths. But we've been working very hard over the last 25, 30 years to eradicate the rhododendron.
The rhododendron might look beautiful when it's in flower, but it's bad news for the Lundy cabbage. As it grows, it shades out native plants and releases natural chemicals into the soil that make it difficult for anything to grow beneath it.
When I go back to the mainland and see all the rhododendron, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many rhododendrons here, you just don't see them. And if you do, then it's like a big panic, like, quick, mark down its location, text the ranger, make sure it gets dug up quickly. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty plant, but it needs to be kept under control.
Restoring the habitat hasn't just benefited the cabbage, because hidden within the leaves lives something just as remarkable.
I'm Laura Larkin, and I work for a wildlife charity called Bug Life.
I'm Kareem Varhead, and I also work for Bug Life.
Today, Laura and Kareem are on Lundy, carrying out the survey of the Lundy cabbage flea beetle.
So, yeah, Lundy cabbage is an endemic plant, also have an endemic invertebrate that lives on it. So, yeah, the Lundy cabbage flea beetle, shockingly, as the name suggests, feeds on the Lundy cabbage.
It's known as a co-endemic relationship, and it's incredibly rare. In fact, Lundy is the only place in Britain where this relationship happens.
We're here trying to figure out where the beetles are and to kind of see how many patches of cabbage we can find them on. The beetles themselves are about 3.5 millimetres long. They're kind of like a like a kind of faint metallic-y kind of bronzy colour, and they've got these very thick kind of muscly looking back legs, and they use them to jump, which is where the kind of the flea beetle name comes from. So yeah, they can jump, compared to the size of their body, a very, very, very long distance.
But how exactly do you count a beetle that's only a few millimetres long?
We've had to kind of adapt a special bit of kit for coming here to help us survey in some places. So where we're stood at the moment, we're on the track on Lundy that runs from where the ferry comes in at the jetty up towards the main light settlement at the top of the hill. And kind of above us is this quite kind of sheer cliff. But just up there, you can see a cabbage plant growing out the side of it. So to enable us to kind of check those, what we've done is we've got a 3 metre fishing pole and have kind of clipped one of our sweep nets to the end of it. And that's a relatively effective, if not slightly unusual looking way, surveying the plants that are a lot higher up and obviously not safe to reach. And what we do with the sweep net is we kind of move it backwards and forwards through the cabbage plants. We're doing 5 sweeps per plant, or kind of 10 sweeps per kind of square metre or so if there's multiple plants in a place. When we've done those sweeps, we pick up the net, which I have just done now, and I'm just going to stick my head inside of it, which sounds a bit weird, but if you don't do that, all the beetles escape. And see what we've got. So I have got a flea beetle in here, I think.
Do you want the pot?
I'd love a pot, if you can find one. Oh, I've got more than one, actually. There's another one here. There's a couple. That's quite good. So that is...
Is it? Looks it's... right, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a Lundy cabbage flea beetle. So yeah, just like that, we've managed to find flea beetle, which is excellent.
And once you've found one, where do you put it?
Got some really tiny glass pots that I put them in when we catch them. Just helps us to kind of be able to get a hand lens up to it just to confirm for certain that it is.
Then we let them go.
Yes,
alive.
Back on the cabbage again. Yes. So yes, we're simply kind of counting them and yeah, trying to figure out where they are and how they're doing.
This isn't Laura's first visit to Lundy. She carried out the survey last year too, but the conditions made it a very different experience.
It was one of those kind of freak July semi-hurricanes that you occasionally get, and myself and my colleague Laura ended up getting helicoptered over here, which was quite exciting, but not ideal for kind of beetle surveying. So it was a bit wet, a bit rainy, but we managed to find some time to go out. And I think that in the kind of 2.5-3 days that we were here, we only managed to find, I think it was either 7 or 9 flea beetles over the whole of the 3 days. We've been here so far today probably only about an hour searching, and I think we've already found 7. So it's looking like a really good year, which is really exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing what else we can find across the next few days as well.
Laura and Kareem are working with Tara and the island team as part of a species recovery programme, supported by Natural England and the Mohammed bin Zayed Species Conservation Fund.
What we're hoping to do through the surveys to kind of map the kind of scrubbier, kind of more brambly bits where the cabbage is growing, and to work with the island team to kind of clear some of those back to bare ground.
And this should make more room for the cabbage to grow.
The cabbage is kind of a pioneer plant, which means that it grows best under bare ground conditions. So on the island at the moment, where you can see them growing, you notice that they're quite often next to rocks or next to the path where the vegetation isn't quite as thick. They tend to kind of germinate there a lot better than they do in other places, which will then hopefully in time, yeah, lead to more cabbage and more beetles.
This year's survey recorded 17 beetles, which might not sound many, but for a species found nowhere else on Earth, every individual counts.
The Lundy cabbage flea beetle was globally critically endangered. So it's a very, very important thing to look after.
The Lundy cabbage and the Lundy flea beetle may not have the star appeal of a puffin or even the charisma of a grey seal. But perhaps Lundy's greatest wildlife story is the one that most people walk straight past. Thank you for listening to this episode of Wild Tales. If you've enjoyed it, why not give us a follow or a review? And if you'd like to find out more about the Lundy cabbage and the Lundy flea beetle, then head to the episode show notes. I'm Rosie Holsworth. See you next time.